Blog Talk Radio.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
Dave Koenig is a three-time Emmy Award-winning comedian known for his many TV appearances. Louis C.K. fans know Koenig as Matchy, the club owner on the hit show Louis on FX. Late-night TV comedy fans know Koenig from talk shows like Red Eye with Tom Shalhoub on Fox News and as the host of the infamous HBO comedy series Hardcore TV. Koenig won his Emmys for his funny man Under the Street Reports on the TV series Subway Q&A and hosted and produced the cult hit talk show parody The Dave Koenig Show for USA Networks. The New York Times calls Koenig's stand-up act laugh out loud, funny, and lightning fast. Koenig is a comedy powerhouse, whether headlining nationally or starring his own critically acclaimed hits, off-Broadway solo shows, Addicted to Show Business, and Hebrew School Dropout. A veteran comic, Koenig regularly knocks them out at casinos, Foxwoods, Mohegan Sun, The Borgata, Falls View, Turning Stone, cruise ships such as NCL, Royal Caribbean, and Holland America, and is a favorite on the Friars Club roasts, skewering stars like George Takei and baseball legends Gus Gossage, John Franco, Jim Bouton, and Rusty Staub. Beginning his theatrical career as an obnoxious young child actor, Dave Koenig went on to star on Broadway as a skirt-chasing DJ Vince Fontaine in the long-running Broadway musical revival of Grease. His lengthy theatrical resume includes starring roles in New York productions of The Odd Couple and Enemy of the People, Sugar, and many more. A comedy star across all platforms, Koenig's new web series Addicted to Show Business was called hilarious by Comedy Wire. Why Animals Sleep So Close to the Road and Other Lies, I Tell My Children, a TV sitcom based on the books of his wife humorist Susan Koenig, is now in pre-production. And in 2016, Dave Koenig's first novel, Good Luck, Mr. Gorski, will be published by Willow Street Press. Dave Koenig is generally regarded to be America's most beloved living entertainer. Please join me in welcoming to the New York Podcasting Cafe, three-time Emmy Award winner, premier entertainer, playwright, author, and comedian, Dave Koenig.
Hi, I'm Dave Koenig.
Oh, this is exciting. This is going to be the biggest thing to happen to radio since Hirohito announced the Japanese surrender. I'm very excited about this. So is this a podcast? Is this a radio show? Do I have to stick my head out the window and wrap aluminum foil around my head to pick the signal up? Is this
it's actually being broadcast?
Will people hear this? Can you hear this? Can you actually hear me now? Are we the only ones listening to this?
I have been downloaded about 54,000 times in a short
amount of
time. Really?
There's medication for that. You should really seek help. That sounds like an excessive amount of downloading going on for you.
It sounds like it. I think I need to get up out of the chair and get a life or something.
I believe they have an ointment for that. You can apply directly.
Well, when you have the name of that ointment, please do send me an email.
Absolutely. You'll be the first. I'll have my dermatologist call you in the morning.
Thank you. I really, really would appreciate that.
You got it.
How are Susan and the kids?
Which one? My wife, Susan, my wife, and Austin?
Yes,
because
yes.
It's a very common name. There's a lot of Susans out there and an excessive amount of kids, so I wasn't sure which ones you were referring to. As far as I know, they're fine. I try to avoid them as much as possible, There's only so many hours in the day, but they seem to be doing okay, as far as I can tell.
Are you participating in any current activities with them? anything you want to share with us?
Am I participating in any current activities? Well, right now I'm doing an interview with you, and I think it's going swimmingly. This is my current activity, and I will share it with you, and I'll share it with all 54,000 people who download you.
I know you had a childhood like the rest of us.
No,
you have
I could not have a childhood like the rest of you. I had a horrible childhood. That's why I'm in show business. Nobody in show business had a good childhood, Carmen. Deeply fractured human beings. That's why we're incapable of holding down a job. That's why we're incapable of maintaining long-term relationships. That's why we got in the show business in the first place.
It couldn't have been that bad. How bad was it, Dave?
How bad was it? I should be paying you by the hour for this kind of analysis. What are you, a psychotherapist now? My father was 5'2". My father was 5'2". He was 125 pounds. My mother was 5 foot. She was 250 pounds. When they walked down the street, they looked like the number 10. They were very short people. They made Jews shorter back then. This is before they started putting fluoride in the seltzer. They were very short people. They were loud people, Carmen. They made noises farly inordinate to their height.
I had no idea that shortness was, a trend in those days.
It was a big trend. Are you kidding? Before Twitter, shortness was trending amongst the Jews. You never saw a tall Jew back then. If you were 5'7", you were considered to be one of the tallest Jews on earth.
Is that so?
Oh my goodness! Absolutely.
I've had my share of Jewish, tall Jewish friends, but I guess that all depends on.
I'm talking about two, three generations ago. These people were minute.
Two or three generations ago.
Very small people, Carmen. So that was my childhood. I was surrounded by loud, short Jews.
Whereabouts?
Where were these loud, short Jews? Well, mostly the Bronx. A lot of loud, short Jews in the Bronx, Carmen. If you go to Liebman's Deli on 235th Street, you're going to see people like my parents, short and loud.
That couldn't possibly be. You're a tall guy yourself, though, aren't you?
Yeah, there's no accounting for that, absolutely. I don't know how that happened. My mother has some. My mother apparently has some splaining to do. Because I'm 5'11", so there's no logical explanation for this whatsoever.
You don't have a little bit of the Nordic in you, a little of the Irish in you, nothing like that.
I got something in me, and I'm taking medication for it, but that's none of your damn business. So what else we got?
Okay.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
So you started out up in the Catskills, and
I started out in the Catskills. Who are you interviewing, Freddie Roman? I started out in the Catskills. This is news to me. Where are you getting your information from? Who rewrote
Wikipedia?
My Wikipedia page? What the hell's going on here? No, I started performing in the Catskills long after the Catskills died. The Catskills is dead. It's been dead for decades.
Yeah, no, I know about that. Yeah.
I was in the entire history... In the entire long history of Catskills comedy, of Jewish comedy, Jewish resorts in the Catskills, this is going back 50 years. Do you know who was the last comedian to perform at the last Jewish resort in the Catskills?
Oh, God.
You're talking to him. It was me.
Was that really you?
I closed Kutcher's. Kutcher's was the last Jewish resort in the Catskills. I closed the joint. I was the last comedian to perform there. Kutcher's, by the way, is going to reopen in the fall as the Museum of Mold. We're all very excited about that.
Museum of Mold sculptures, mold sculptures.
They used to send me up to Kutcher's. I did so many gigs up there, and this is towards the last few years, the last dying years of Kutcher's. Kutcher's was the last Jewish resort up there. It was dying. It was on life support. Kutcher's, you'd walk in, you'd have to, you'd have to bathe in antibacteria gel just to get through the lobby. And they would send me up there. That place was such a dump. They would send me up there to perform in the lounge because they would seat maybe 200 people. They'd get 200 Orthodox Jews, and they'd squeeze them into the lounge. And I would do an hour show. And the reason, and they loved me up there, you know why? Because you couldn't perform with a microphone. It was Sabbath, and there was a rabbinical, they're very Orthodox. It was a rabbinical prohibition against using a microphone. So they would book me as the comedian. Not because I'm particularly funny, but because I'm loud. I could do an hour show without a microphone. So Kutcher's was the only place It's the only hotel in America. Any other hotel, if there's a show and some,
right.
and you miss the show, you say, well, how is the comedian? Was he funny? At Kutcher's, they say, how is the comedian? Could you hear him? Could you hear him? They loved me because I was loud up there.
So that was one of the criteria. You have to have a very loud.
I wish there was a better punchline to that anecdote because it kind of ended on a weak note. It just kind of petered out. But at any rate, that's my Catskills. My Catskills was long after it died. I killed it. In fact, I was the guy up there with the shovel, putting the last shovel of dirt on the Catskills.
For somebody who closed the Catskills, you've done pretty well. You've won three Emmy Awards.
I won three Emmy Awards. That's right. And if I take all three of those Emmy Awards and combine them with $2.75, I can get on the crosstown bus. This is a fact, Carmen. I give you
facts. Is that the truth? You're quite honest. People don't always tell.
I believe it is $2.75. It might be up to $3 now.
Probably is. It probably is. I haven't been on a bus in a while.
I got three Emmy Awards for a TV show that aired in New York City in 1999, 2000, 2001. It was called Subway Q&A. I used to do man on the street interviews underground. Very funny stuff. You can go on my website, DaveKoenig.com. There's clips of it. And those Emmy Awards got me booked into Kutcher's. So that's the advantage you get from getting Emmy Awards.
I see now. I get the order of things. You appeared on Empire, Boardwalk, and Law & Order, Criminal Intent in those shows. What was it like?
Boardwalk Empire was great. Here's the thing about Boardwalk Empire. I'll tell you the story. I got an audition. My agent calls me.
Mm-hmm.
Says, I got you an audition. I said, that's great. What's it for? She says, Boardwalk Empire. I said, Boardwalk Empire. Oh, my God, this is fantastic. It's my favorite show. I love that show. It's Steve Buscemi. It's the best show on TV. I said, what's the part? She said, reporter number three. I said, reporter number three. I said, I didn't say this. I said, I thought to myself, are you kidding? A man of my stature with my Emmy Awards, with my headlining gigs at Kutcher's, and I'm going in for reporter number three. One lousy line. So I go to the audition.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
I go in, I audition, reporter number three. I go home. My agent calls me up. Says, guess what? I said, what? She says, you got a callback. I said, a callback for reporter number three? Are you kidding me? One line, one lousy line. So now, and she says, by the way, the callback, the first audition was at a casting office in Manhattan. The callback, mm-hmm. She says, it's at the studio. I said, where's the studio? She says, it's Steiner Studios. I said, where's Steiner Studios? She said, it's in Brooklyn. It's the old Brooklyn Navy Yard. They took the old Brooklyn Navy Yard, they turned it into a film and TV studio. Now I'm thinking, are you kidding? I got to take a subway and a bus all the way out to Brooklyn Navy Yard for one lousy line, reporter number three, one lousy line. So I call up a buddy of mine. I got a buddy, and he's an actor, and he's a writer, a guy named Joe. And he's a man in his 60s, you know. And I said, Joe, I'm all irritated. He said, why are you irritated? I said, I'm on a bus. I got to schlep all the way out to the Brooklyn Navy Yard for one line, one lousy line. He says, I'll tell you what, if it makes you feel any better, the last time I was at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, they shipped me off to Vietnam.
Oh,
I said, Joe, you really cheered me up. So now, cut to, I get the part, right? I get cast. Now I'm on the set. Okay? I'm on the set. It's five. The set is outdoors. We're shooting in Far Rockaway on the beach. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's an early shoot. Here's
summer,
the scene.
Winter?
It was pretty cold, actually. And the scene is, it's a boxing exhibition. It's a boxing exhibition to promote the fight. And I'm a reporter, and I'm yelling questions to the boxer, you know. Okay. And Steve Buscemi's on the other side of the ring. I'm on one side. He's on the other. The camera, they're going to shoot my part of the scene with me yelling questions at the boxer.
Right.
Then they're going to turn the cameras around, and they're going to shoot Steve Buscemi walking out of the ring. He's walking away with the boxer's manager. So it's two scenes really in one. So they shoot my scene, And I spend about an hour, doing my one line over and over again. No one says anything to me. Apparently, I'm doing okay. Then the assistant director says, okay, we're going to cut, and now we're going to turn the cameras around. We're going to shoot Steve's scene. So I go over to where Steve Buscemi is because I didn't hear what the director said. And there's another guy, an actor, who Steve Buscemi is with. And I know the other actor. His name's Ralph. I said, Ralph, I didn't hear what she said. Ralph says, she says they're going to cut, they're finished with your scene, now they're going to shoot our scene. And I said, oh, that's great, because I really got to go to the bathroom. Now, this is not a funny line. I got to go to the bathroom. But Steve Buscemi's standing there, and for some reason, he thought that was amusing. So he kind of smiled at me. Now, here I am, I'm with Steve Buscemi, I love him, I think he's a brilliant actor, and he smiled at me. So I took that as an indication that he wants to talk to me. And that we're now best friends. So without any segue, I'm feeling so awkward, without any any introduction, I just go up to Steve and go, I got a funny story to tell you. And then I proceed to tell him the whole story about me going on the audition and getting the part for one line and the guy telling me the last time I was at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, they shipped me off to Vietnam. So I get to the big punchline, Vietnam, yeah. And Buscemi just, now it's 5 o'clock in the morning. He's the star of the show. He hasn't even had his coffee yet. And he just looks at me and goes, yeah, well, that certainly puts things in perspective. And I said, yeah, I guess it does. And then I ran to the bathroom. And that was my entire experience on Boardwalk Empire. They never had me back. I think Steve Buscemi blacklisted me from that show. He told the director, never have that guy on this show again. He told me a long-winded anecdote that went nowhere. It had no punchline. It wasn't humorous. It irritated me. And now I'm sharing it with you.
Oh, my goodness. Now I'm afraid to ask you about The Odd Couple. What was that like?
You should be afraid to ask me about The Odd Couple. I did a production of The Odd Couple. Here's the thing. I was a kid. I was very young at the time. I was, and I've always looked younger than I am. So this was 20 years ago. So I go in for this production of The Odd Couple. I go in for Oscar, right? Mm-hmm. And they love me. I'm brilliant. I was born to play Oscar. But I looked like, I was 12 years old. I was too young.
Oh, no.
So they said, okay, we're not going to give you Oscar because, you look too young. But we'll give you Roy the accountant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the poker buddies. I don't know if you've ever seen the play. One of the poker buddies. Very funny, the Oscar and his poker buddies. Okay. Now, there's a line in the play that I kept screwing up in rehearsal. We rehearsed this thing, and every single time I got to this line, I couldn't get it out of my mouth. Here's the line. It's the opening of the play. It's been established that Oscar's refrigerator is broken, and he's a slob, and his apartment's a mess. And Oscar comes out, and he says, who wants sandwiches? And we're all sitting there playing poker. And Murray, the cop, says, I do. He says, what do you got? And Oscar says, I got brown sandwiches and green sandwiches. Okay? And then Murray says, what's the green? Oscar says, it's either very old meat or very new cheese. And Murray says, I'll take the brown. Oscar hands him the sandwich. Murray's about to take a big bite of it. And me, sitting next to him, Roy the accountant, I turn to Murray and I say, you're not going to eat that, are you? And Murray says, I'm hungry. And here's the line I could never get out. I say, his refrigerator has been broken for 2 weeks. I saw milk standing in there that wasn't even in the bottle. You get it? Lots of T's and TH's. Milk standing in, wasn't even in the bottle. I couldn't get it out. Every time I saw it. Okay. So now, opening night. Opening night of the show. And here, and I'm sweating bullets. I'm sweating bullets because I can see this line coming right down the track like the super chief. And I know I'm going to screw it up. And I say to myself, you know what? I'm not going to screw up this line. I don't care if it doesn't get a laugh. I don't care if it doesn't work. I'm going to get the words out no matter what. So here we go. The audience is laughing. Everybody's having a good time. The show's going great. It's, it's rat-a-da-ta-da-ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. It's fast-paced. It's like a ping-pong match. Boom-a-da-boom-a-da-boom-a-da-boom. And then here comes the line. Boom! And it's me. And I say, I saw milk standing in there that wasn't even in the bottle. I mean, I just pronounced every syllable beautifully. Biggest laugh of the show. Place goes nuts. I mean, they go nuts. They're throwing rose petals at my feet. Now, cut to 20 years later. I'm at the Friars Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's sitting there having lunch with his lovely wife, but Neil Simon. Neil Simon.
Oh my goodness.
So I
go
up to Neil Simon. I do this a lot with people I don't know, like Steve Buscemi, you know. Big stars. I just walk right up to them and I start talking to them because I'm an idiot. So I go up to Neil Simon.
No.
I say, Neil, I got a great Neil Simon story. I learned something valuable about your writing. I learned that all you got to do is get the words out. Here's the story, and I tell him the whole story. Yeah. And then he fell asleep into his soup. He just keeled over, face first, right into his matzo ball soup.
Oh, that's okay.
My odd couple story. That's a good story. It's not quite as good as the Steve Buscemi story, but it's twice as long. So we killed up a lot of time there.
Byron, I met you at the Metropolitan Room. Actually, we had met Bob Greenberg.
There's nothing to brag about,
Actors,
but go ahead.
The Actors Temple, the annual Actors
Temple
benefit.
That's even worse. We're really going downhill. Go ahead.
Bob said, hey, you've got to come to this thing. Dave Koenig.
I met you at the bus terminal. I met you at the Greyhound bus terminal. I met you at Penn Station.
Did you?
You were selling bags of oregano. All right, keep going.
So he says to us, you've got to come to this thing, and you were recording something, and we were there, and Favish Finkel was there. And
the great Favish Finkel.
Yes, this was in the Metropolitan Room.
Yeah.
And you were there, Favish Finkel was there, a host of other luminaries.
Favish is
it
a wonderful
guy. It was a CD.
Guy.
You were recording the CD.
I was recording a comedy CD, which is available on my website, DaveKoenig.com, DaveKoenig.com. I got cartons of this stuff. I got to unload them.
Really? What's the title of it?
Online and order about 300 copies of my comedy CD.
Yeah, we have it. Ira has it.
You need another 300 copies. You got one, you need 299 more copies. You got to have extras. Trust me,
yes,
I got thousands of them. Yeah, go ahead.
And I think everyone should get it. It's wonderful. We've heard it over and over and over again.
If every single one of the people who downloaded your show, all 54,000 of them, ordered one copy each of my comedy CD, I might get about half of them out of my apartment. It's fantastic.
I just wish I knew who all these people are. I'm trying to find a way to get them to write me and send me their email so that we can send newsletters and marketing campaigns.
Well, I'm sure you'll work that all out.
I'm trying.
I have
I'm
faith
doing
in
my
you.
Best. Yeah, thank you.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
You wrote your own play.
I had a hit off Broadway show called Addicted to Show
right.
Business, and
I saw
I've got
it.
Another. I got
you
a full length play. I'm going to be producing this year in, that will be produced this year in New York City called Good Luck, Mr. Gorski, and I have a web series out called Addicted to Show Business. Very funny. Which, by the way, just got nominated for. Literally, it was seven awards in the Los Angeles Web Festival.
Seven awards?
Yeah, best comedy series, best comedy writing, best actor, best supporting actor, Ross Bennett, best director, Brett Katz. Very funny. AddictedToShowBusiness.com.
Wow.
You can go online and see that. I got a lot of stuff online. Just stay on the internet at all times and you'll see me.
Wow.
Don't walk away from the computer.
That's phenomenal. I also saw you in Manhattan with Corey Kahaney. You did a stage thing with her at the...
I'm always doing something with somebody. We're all out there working. That's how we pay the bills. This is what they pay us for. We get up, we tell jokes, people give us money. You know, this is the racket we're in. Nobody put a gun to our head. And yet, there we
are. You do what I call God's work, because you come around to the Actors Temple almost every year, and you join Ross Bennett, Bob Greenberg, Nancy Lombardo, Mike Fine, Doug Kleinman.
That's nothing to brag about. But listen, let me tell you something. Comedians are always available for a benefit. It's not because we're charitable. It's just because it's because there's an audience. We'll go if there's an audience.
Right.
If someone's going to applaud us and laugh at us, we'll go, you know.
Right,
but we're not noble.
No,
this is nothing noble going on here. You know who's noble? Anyone but me. That's who's noble.
I
can
I
give
beg
you
to
examples, but why
that.
Bother? What's that?
I beg to differ on that. I beg to differ on
sweetheart.
That. I think that you're all great people. Rhonda Hanson's there, Sandy Eller, Max Alexander, Joe Franklin, may he rest in peace, used to show up there. Scott Blakeman, Bob Diamond, Jeffrey
Dorian. I think
Durian,
Joe Franklin's still going,
Jane
even
Condon.
Though he's dead. I think he's still going to be there.
Yeah.
And by the way, how
there.
Can you tell the difference? For God's sakes. I mean, did you ever hang out with Joe? How would you know if he was dead or alive at this point? But he'll be there. They'll all be there. It's fantastic. We do it every year. We do a little benefit for the Actors Temple. Actors Temple is a great synagogue with a show business heritage. They had some famous comedians were members of the temple. This is actually true. They had two. I love this about the Actors Temple. They had two of the three Stooges who were members. They don't even know which two. That's how they list it in the website. Two of the three Stooges were members. We're not sure which two, but two of them were. So, listen, that's my kind of temple. Carmen, it's been a joy talking with you as always.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave, for being on my program. Your beautiful wife, Susan. You know, she's an author. She authored Why Animals Sleep So Close to the Road. I Wear the Maternity Pants in the Family. Teen and Toddlers Are Trying to Kill Me. I hope that you guys do something together someday.
My wife is very, very funny and a very great comedy
great
writer.
Sense of humor.
And you're absolutely right. She's got several very funny books out, and everybody should go to willowstreetpress.com to see all about my wife's misadventures in the world of publishing and comedy writing. Willowstreetpress.com. Well, that's it, Carmen. I've plugged every website I can think of except for WebMD. Go on WebMD and look up all kinds of ailments. If you have like a rash of some kind, go on webmd.com and you'll find out which ointments to take.
For chronic laphatosis or something like that.
For chronic laphatosis
right?
and psoriasis.
Okay, I certainly will.
All right, Carmen.
I hope to see you soon. You'll post us on Facebook?
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, you got it. It was a pleasure.
For coming on to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
All right,
pleasure.
Remember, WebMD, look it up for psoriasis. It's all
right. I definitely will.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
You've been listening to an interview with Dave Koenig. For more information about his videos, his books, bookings, reviews, news about Dave Koenig, his store, his tour, and theater information, please visit DaveKoenig.com. Thank you for joining me on the New York Pod Cafe. See you real soon.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.